I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Foresight Holdings. I'm pleased to welcome Willie Ackermann to the show now. Willie is Chief Sales and Marketing Officer at Foresight. Willie, welcome. Before we delve into the subject matter today, I think many people listening to this will have heard of Foresight before and perhaps even know that the company is listed on the JSE, but aren't necessarily familiar with what the group does. For those folks, do you mind giving us a quick overview?
No problem. Thanks, Duncan, for the time and allowing me the time to talk. Foresight Holdings has been started in 2017. It's a diversified technology company. And very unique to the company setup is the whole idea of bringing the convergence together. That the focus of the company was to bring IT and OT together. And just quickly, and for those that don't know 100%, it's the information technology and operational technology environments. So the acquisitions were done in both these areas to really bring the power together of those two environments, because normally you'll find IT is very specific on ERP and financial systems, and OT in it is more engineering and chemical engineering focused. So the company brings those two together, and we'll later talk about business environment, because these two then creates the business environment where the business actually operates in.
Okay, now Foresight was an amalgamation or a conglomeration of multiple companies that came together for the listing. I know that the company is, in its marketing materials over the years, is specifically focused on so-called 4IR or Fourth Industrial Revolution technologies. What was the thinking behind that amalgamation of those companies, and what is your value proposition, if I can put it that way?
So that's exactly what we did. We started off by, in the 4I technologies, not only focusing on the technologies, but actually bringing the technologies with the domain expertise together. Because it's quite easy, and I think during the today we'll talk about it, it's quite easy to get the technologies up, but it is how do you get the people to adopt and change and really digitally transform.
Right.
So we basically have all the 4IR technologies in our group, but it's bringing that domain-specific mm-hmm. and that domain-specific environment together, what's making the difference. That, I think, differentiates us quite significantly from anyone else.
Okay, and who are your customers? Are you targeting enterprise businesses in South Africa primarily?
Yeah, so we basically have 30 what we call enterprise clients that we call in Tier 1. So that is the big multinational clients. And then we have 100 Tier 2 clients, which we call small, medium corporate clients, mostly focusing it around the Microsoft stacks in those spaces. And then we have the mass that we call Tier 3 that we do more digital selling to. So it moves from real face-to-face to face-to-multiple to multiple environments where we use digital platforms to market.
Right. Now, I want to come back to this term 4IR. I think most people have heard of the term 4IR or Fourth Industrial Revolution, or sometimes it's called Industry 4.0 or 4.0. It's been bandied about a lot in the last few years. What I think a lot of people don't know is a term that was coined by a guy called Klaus Schwab, who's the executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, and it specifically refers to, and I'm quoting from Wikipedia, the ongoing automation of traditional manufacturing and industrial practices using modern smart technology. I think many people, Vili, are still trying to get their heads around what 4IR is, but I see you think that we're already moving into the next phase, which you have dubbed Enterprise 5.0 or 5IR. Aren't we getting a bit ahead of ourselves here?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we want to be leading in this space, but let me quickly maybe just take a step back in the 4IR, why we feel that 4IR is sort of already there and given. I think our biggest stumbling block before the COVID, the pandemic, was actually connectivity. Mm-hmm. And I must say that I'm glad to see the telcos have actually risen up and they really, really came to the party, making our lives much, much easier. Because our biggest problem was, it's one thing to have the technology, but if we can't connect, how do we get the data? So why are we talking more beyond 4IR already? Because if you have the technologies, but you don't do anything with the data, why then do you have it? And what we've seen is that a lot of people actually do have already the different 4IR technologies deployed. If you look in an industrial environment, we talk a long back in about PLCs and SCADAs and all these things. But they're creating massive amounts of data. Now, the data is actually what we do after in it, because that's where the power of 4IR really starts to get to, that we can use it for decision making. So we use what we call operational data out of OT and transactional data out of IT, bring those together into business transaction data, and then that helps to make decisions. So for us, that is quite a crucial environment, and to look at where, how do we capitalize, utilize the data, not really just the technology stacks. Mm-hmm. Without the data and without the other biggest component that you'll see that actually everywhere we talk about, we make it red, is people. So people is the driver behind the adoption. So we don't just talk about change management anymore or resistance to change. We talk about how do you get the adoption rate up? Because the success of any digital transformation is only as successful as the adoption rate. And adoption is from the lowest level to the highest level. Because if you don't use the data, then the whole stack falls to flat.
Yes. So we've just come through a horrible lockdown. We're 6 months into it now, level one finally. And it's changed the way many people work, particularly office-bound people are now working from home, and even continue to work from home in level one, and probably continue to work from home forever in some respects.
Exactly.
Some of the big companies are actually looking to downscale the amount of real estate that they lease or own on the back of this, because they realize that, well, actually, we didn't think our people could work from home and be productive, but we were forced to do it. And now we've discovered that actually they are kind of productive when they work from home. So, Vili, what is this actually meant? What is this meant in corporate South Africa, this forced shift to remote working? And what does it tell us about the future of work and the future of the IT industry?
Yeah, so I think it totally disrupted the environment. So I think if there were businesses that were saying, "Ah, let's see and let's wait," because we found that quite a lot. People saying in the business saying, "It's not going to touch me now. I'll wait. I'll let it, like, get on the bandwagon. Let someone learn the lessons. Just check the failure rate." That has totally changed. Mm-hmm. Because every business were forced to reinvent and relook at their business model. Some in it were caught. Quite bad, because they didn't have policies in place. How do I control the people? What's the working hours? What's the rule? So suddenly they were faced with this enormous move to get people to connect so that they can actually carry on with their work. Mm. It played quite well for us. And that's why you'll see that on Enterprise 5, if you look at what we've cloned around it, we said there's three strategies that's quite key and it plays in this environment. We say, yes, we can talk about the OT and IT and a BE, but the three things that you need to first look after is your hybrid cloud strategy, your data integration, and your cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. Because that three actually is the most important component that you have now. Mm-hmm. Because if I work remotely and work from everywhere and I can't get to my machinery, or I can't see if my machines is healthy, working in the manufacturing environment or in the mines, or working just from home as a normal person working through Teams or Zoom or anything of that, and there's no connectivity, then how do I work? So cloud actually started getting ramped up significantly. But be careful, we will see, we talk about hybrid cloud. I think it's still a long way before we're going to really see your real industrial environments happening in the cloud, because the volume of transaction and the millisecond transaction is still not there yet, and it is a bit dangerous. But hybrid cloud definitely helped us to form that call. And then the other one is the cybersecurity, to transition and transform all your data to the different areas. Where is my data? How do I protect my data? And even that, we saw people is more relaxed now to actually put it into the cloud, where previously that was the biggest stumbling block. Mm-hmm. Why people didn't want to cloud. So if you can sort out your cloud strategy, you can sort out your cybersecurity, then that's where the data comes in. So how do we then integrate this data and make the data available through utilizing the connectivity that I just mentioned in the beginning? Mm-hmm. That's your core of your strategy already been quite advanced already.
So you've had discussions with your clients throughout this lockdown, before the lockdown. How have those conversations changed? What were you talking to your customers? What were your customers talking to you about, say, back in January or February of this year, as opposed to what they're talking to you about now?
It's very interesting, Duncan. So I've been running a CIO or CXO forum for 8 years. There's about 140 CIO, CXOs that we get together every quarter. And it was very, very interesting for me how the conversation changed. If I look at 2-3 years back, we were talking about the cloud and the cloud adoption. We're talking about convergence and how important it is. But everyone were too scared to really go there. Where now our last two conversations, and we actually moved to virtual, and it was quite nice in that you can see everyone coming from everywhere logging in now. Previously, we had a problem getting them in. But the whole discussion is now how fast can we move forward? Mm-hmm. How can we move very quickly? What can we do? How do I quickly get into the cloud? New models. Our biggest drive now is to keep up now. So in January, if you ask me, January, February, the big thing was education. How do we educate our clients and give them the comfort that we can actually move them and help them? Where now it is, how quick can you do it? Where's my proposal? When can we move? How do I move into the cloud? The education has moved away to just prove to me that you can do it and let's go, because I don't have time anymore. My execs are putting pressure on them to say, why aren't we already there? Well, and the models moved. I must say that the models moved totally from CapEx to OpEx.
Right.
And there's very little CapEx currently. The guys are very strung around. I mean, it's just what the pandemic did to a lot. So we're punting in it from Foresight, and that we are a cloud service provider and we are CSP distributor. So we want people to have flexibility in their models. They need to be up and down and they can switch on, switch off. And that now actually just totally took off in the market. Totally took off. Where previously there was quite doubt on, must I move to that model?
Yeah. So do you think then that the as a service model really is one of the big winners out of this? Cloud as a service?
Managed services and software as a service. I think people now see it can work. Everyone is using Office 365 now. They're using Zoom. They're using Teams. Where previously, they wouldn't have think of it. Yes. And even saving documents. You always heard people having these folder structures on their on-premises. Mm-hmm. And with the pandemic, people couldn't access all the documentation. So yes. Suddenly, everyone were happy to move it into Google or move it into OneDrive. It's not suddenly it's not a problem anymore. So it actually helped everyone quite a lot.
Do you think it's
a mind change?
Yeah. So, Vili, do you think, you mentioned that your clients and companies broadly are now saying, how quickly can you get this done? We've realized this is really important. This stuff actually works. We need to do it now because of what happened during lockdown. But do you think that there's a risk that companies are going to rush into this too quickly? Because I imagine that some of these digital transformation projects are not the easiest or simplest projects under the sun. Is there a risk, do you think, that companies are going to rush into this and in maybe in a year or two's time, we're going to be reading all the case studies of IT projects that went horribly wrong because there was too much haste and not enough planning?
I'm glad to actually bring it up because I think that is what we're seeing, that you need to be very careful on where do you start your digital transformation strategy and how do you start. So we've been fortunate to also help a few companies now through this area where the CEO just started off by saying, guys, we need to digitize. And everyone kicked off projects. And at the end, we had to now come in and actually and say, well, guys, why are you doing some of it? No, our CEO said. Mm-hmm. So it is a very risky time for executives to really just say, you must do something digital. Mm-hmm. You need to really take a step backwards and really look at your industry. Look at your competitors, look at who will disrupt you in the world, and then start formulating around that, where do I start? Where do I start this digital transformation? And that's why I started with those three areas. I said, if you're not sure, mm-hmm. the safest you can do is start with your cloud strategy, your cyber, and your digital and data. Because it's all three areas that will unlock risk, mm-hmm. it will mitigate risk, and it will unlock savings for you. Then it gives you a bit of time to understand your environment that you're dealing with and how does it look, and then start formulating what we call a roadmap for the next 3 to 4 years. But yes. Then you at least and that you're using your savings and your risk mitigation to make an informed decision on where to next. Instead of just starting somewhere because there's a nice app or you feel you're behind or you feel your competitor is moving quicker than you. And exactly like you say, yes, the competitor might be moving quicker, but is their strategy right for the industry and for what they want to do? I'd rather take a little bit of time and just do the homework. So we do quite a lot of homework with our clients to make sure, are you focusing on the right areas? And what we're even doing in the industrial area, and it also takes a little bit of time, but we do an end-to-end value simulation for a client. So we actually build a digital twin for the client of his physical environment.
Yes.
So we take the physical environment, use the data, build a digital twin, and then play with the digital twin to see where exactly do we need to start doing something. So that when we start a project, we know it's going to improve throughput or it's going to make it more safe to work in an environment, or there will be a benefit that you will arrive.
Yes.
So be very careful. I think you're raising a very big concern. And I must say, we see a lot of companies that is really all over. And it's going to cost them in the long run.
Yeah. So is it broadly the same questions, the same set of questions that companies should be asking about embarking on these projects and the speed at which they embark on these projects? Or does it vary from company to company or industry to industry? Or is it the same broad set of things that you need to ask every customer when you're discussing this for the first time with them?
So I'll say in general, the same questions unlock the thinking, that the solutions are a little bit different depending on the industry. So at least you can segment it industry-wise. But to start the thinking process for everyone, it's sort of the same. And there we're lucky in it. We've created what we call an evolution model for foresight, where we start with a client's discussion on, are you living and making decisions in no sight? Or are you using hindsight? Or are you really an insight where you have real-time information to make decisions? Or are you having foresight where you actually base your decisions on what's going to happen? Now, that actually helps the client to very quickly put him into, okay, well, I'm actually more on hindsight, moving to insight. But immediately, there's different technologies then that applies to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's no use in that if your data and your data structures and data availability isn't there, you already now start talking about AI and ML and machine learning and all these things, but there's no data.
Mm-hmm.
But then we take the client just in a reality check back to say, okay, well, if you don't have already insight, still working on hindsight, it means your systems aren't integrated and maybe you don't have all the sensoring on all your equipment to create the data so that we can have insight. So we have that very high level strategic discussion with the client and then we draw in to the solution for a specific industry.
Okay. Now, not every CFO, not every CEO is tech savvy. I think more and more CEOs are tech savvy. Probably more CEOs are tech savvy today than at any time in the past, but not all of them are tech savvy at this juncture. How should top executives in organizations who aren't involved in the IT function and the boards of directors of those companies be thinking about these projects? And what are some of the questions they should be asking their IT guys and asking their vendors like Foresight?
Like I said, the biggest discussions in that boardroom should first be risk. So risk, and then I think at the moment where we are is cost savings. So and also how do we make ourselves relevant? We talk about a lot about future proving the business. So my question will normally be in that is, are you future proof? Now I think the pandemic and that showed us that a lot of companies that thought they future proof, they're not that future proof. Have that discussion to say, okay, what is the basics that we need to future-proof our organization? Is it that we need to reinvent the way that we work? Is it the way that we operate? Is it the technologies? But I think to go into that meetings where, because a lot of the guys are reading on Google and everywhere now, to go in there and say, listen, we need the AI machine, or we need ML. So, and that's why we said we need trying to move away from 4IR technologies to more the business discussion and the people discussion. More focus on what is it that we want to achieve? How do we want to look as an organization? And then we will go back and look at what technologies to apply.
Yes.
Not the other way around. And I think that's where a big mistake currently happens because everyone feels like, I had a Brian, someone talking about they have machine learning and this bot that's doing this stuff. Just, we also need a bot. What are you going to do with the bot? So it's very important to first understand who's my competitors and how do I work in this industry and what's relevant for my industry? What do I need to future? And then let's focus on, do you really need the bot?
Yes. Yes. Do you think there's still that big barrier? And I know it was people spoke about it a lot 10, 15 years ago about the need to breach the divide between IT and the business. Is that gulf still there today? Is it not as bad as it was back then? What does the situation look like within companies? Do senior executives within companies, in your view, have a broad appreciation of what IT can do for the business, or is IT still regarded as this poor stepsister who costs us a lot of money but doesn't really deliver all that much value?
That was our last topic discussion in one of the CXO forums. So it's very interesting on how that changed. Yeah. Suddenly, the CIO and the CDO and the CTO is part of the meetings.
Right.
So previously, it was leave them, let them do the back office. Suddenly, you come and help us. How do we get our staff up? How do we get connected? What do we need to do? So definitely, it has raised. I actually joked about them. I said, I hope everyone's going to get raised because suddenly they're really getting more important. But now the next challenge then that all of them will have is now, how do I keep sustaining and proving the value?
Yes.
So I need to move away from having this discussion, talking about technology, but talking about business. And I think that's the big challenge that we need to now focus on. How do we talk business? And that's what we in Foresight, why I spoke about the three environments, because we said we have the IT environment that's traditional. So how do we bring OT environment where your engineering is sitting closer, and that's the convergence of bringing the two together. But if you try and say that IT must take over OT, OT will fight. If you say OT must take over IT, they say they don't have the skills. So the best for us was to create business environment. So it's a neutral ground where everyone plays. So it's more looking at what's the best for the business out of these two environments. So that actually helped us a lot to remove the barrier of bringing these two together. But there is still, unfortunately, there is still trust. And it's still a barrier because you need to be able to talk the domain-specific engineering language.
Yes.
You need to understand the business. And IT guys, they appreciate it. They actually were through this whole exercise. I think the IT guys really learned a lot.
Yeah.
Of, I'll sort the team stuff out in the back. And what do you want? You want to connect all the guys? I'll connect them. Mm-hmm. It really helped them also to change to a different.
So COVID hasn't been good for our health, Vili, but it sounds like it's been pretty healthy for the discussions taking place in companies between the business and IT, and possibly bodes quite well for the future as long as companies, it sounds to me, don't rush into this stuff without thinking about the risks associated with it.
I think that's the biggest thing. Just don't rush to it. Make that sure. Start with the basics, like we said, and the opportunity is massive. I think it definitely have changed the way of work. People will never think the same again about how to operate and how to work. And things that previously everyone felt is impossible, suddenly possible.
Yes.
So, but yes, for the technology companies, I think, yes, there's the downside from a health point of view, but it also actually made all of us do a very quick change. It took away that resistance to change very quickly. People are—I don't know if you find that people are really more open now to change.
Yes,
they listen much, much more now.
Yes.
Previously they will just say no. I'll just say, let me just first listen.
So, Vili, anyone who's been listening to this podcast, I believe you've got an event coming up. Tell us a bit about it.
Yes, yeah, thanks, Duncan. It's going to be a big event. It's called Convert Summit. 2020. So the whole idea is 22nd of October, we're getting a few of the industry leaders together. So Lillian Barnett from Microsoft MD South Africa will be there. She will be talking a keynote. Antoni from AspenTech CEO, he will be talking. Herman Singh, futurist, he will be talking a bit about his new book, Divergence. And then we will break up in different streams in a virtual environment where we will unpack business environment, operational technology, and IT. That will be a packed day, really a nice time in it. And anyone that wants to join, you can go to www.registertoday.co.za. And please register, and we'd like to see you there. It's a virtual conference, so very easy to attend.
What's that web address again?
It's the www.registertoday.co.za.
Registertoday.co.za.
Register today, one word.
Okay, brilliant. Go check that out.
And the agenda is on there, keynote speakers, everything is on there. And you can click there and register, please.
Great. Well, it sounds very positive. Vili, this has been a very interesting discussion on some big changes that are happening in the world of technology. Vili Ackermann is Chief Sales and Marketing Officer at Foresight Holdings. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central.
Thanks very much, Duncan, for your time.